Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Shock and sadness surrounding the death of a man we saw grow up on television.
Tributes are pouring in for actor Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Be right there.
Who charmed TV audiences for years as the lovable Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show. Police say the 54-year-old died in an accidental drowning off Costa Rica's Caribbean coast, where he was reportedly on a family vacation. Investigators say Warner got caught in a strong current while swimming and that beachgoers tried to rescue him, but it was too late by the time first responders reached him.
That's ABC's Victor Okendo. The sheriff of Jacksonville, Florida, is defending the violent arrest of a black driver who was punched and beaten by two sheriff's deputies. A video of the arrest by the suspect, 22-year-old William McNeil, has gone viral. The sheriff claims McNeil had been told several times to leave his car. McNeil's lawyer disputes that. Harvard University in federal court Monday, fighting back against $2.5 billion in funding pulled by the Trump administration. This is ABC News.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Winnebago County Overdose Fatality Review Team reports a 49% decrease in overdose deaths in 2024 compared to 2023, when the county saw a record number of overdose deaths. Jennifer Skolaski, the project manager of the OFR team, said the decline underscores the dedication of the community in addressing substance use and overdose fatalities.
We have 49 partners representing 35 agencies from a multidisciplinary team of law enforcement, public health, healthcare, city, county services, education, faith communities, people with lived experience, fire, police, everything. And we all come together to review these cases, and it's every one of those beans and every one of those sectors working together to help with this decrease. So we definitely celebrate that.
Despite the progress, there is more to be done, said Maddie Brager, the community health strategist with Winnebago County Public Health.
We still had 24 lives lost last year, and until those numbers are at zero, we're not going to stop.
See the story on our website for a more detailed look at the OFR report for 2024. Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin is joining another multi-state lawsuit against actions taken by the Trump administration. The new lawsuit challenges a rule change by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. It argues the rule change would make it more difficult for residents to obtain health care coverage under the Affordable Care Act. In a press release, Attorney General Call said the change would decrease the total enrollment in Wisconsin's individual marketplace and make premiums less affordable.
I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
A shutout in Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball. The Brewers with a 6-0 shutout win over the Seattle Mariners. The crew held hitless until the top of the sixth when Joey Ortiz got on base, then slid into home plate. FanDuel Wisconsin.
Contreras, a high fly into right. Ortiz back to tag. Canzone under it, makes the catch. Here's the throw home. Ortiz slides. He's safe. 1-0 Brewers on the sack fly by Contreras.
Ortiz kicking off a 4-run inning. Pat Murphy.
Then Terang, and then Contreras sack, and then Yelly base hit, and then Churio missile, and Collins walk. I mean, that's 7 quality at bats in a row. That's what you have to do. You got to stack them. That's how you get crooked numbers if you stack them. And
so for now, Milwaukee has the best win-loss record in baseball and one game ahead of the Cubs. They lost 12-4 to the Royals at Wrigley Field. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Our low dropping into the low 70s. Tomorrow, sunny, hot, humid, scattered thunderstorms with a high near 88. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic. On the table. Kaylee High from Staley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this is Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she laying eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app. Jay, Matt, Nair, and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our road companion from last week and our friend and colleague here at Civic Media, Todd Allbaugh, will be here to break down all the news. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, July 22nd, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or on the Civic Media app, on Facebook, on YouTube, by podcast. Pleasure to have you here to get this Tuesday underway. I got a question for you. Is Sean Duffy on duty after that near mid-air collision involving a passenger flight and a, what, B-52 bomber, something like that? Look, I'm not expecting Sean Duffy to be in every control tower, but maybe before going after things like DEI and criticizing New York City's, you know, rush hour congestion traffic program, maybe focus on the core aspects of your job. And putting up a social media post every couple of days saying, hey, we're looking for air traffic controllers, it's a great job. Maybe you need to do a little bit more than that. We'll talk about that close call coming up in just a little bit. But first, I mean, Roger puts it so well in the comment section of Facebook. Simply says, how about your first place, Milwaukee Brewers? How about that, producer Parker Olson, down in Madison A2? Your first place, Milwaukee Brewers.
I like the sound of that, Pat. That's a good. Like, I could get used to that.
We haven't said that since, I think, is it April 11th? Something like that. So
were we in first place at all this year?
We were for a little bit. Yep. Okay. First thing started really not good, and then things were really good for a short time. Believe it or not, after winning 11 in a row by beating Seattle last night, that is still not the longest streak in the majors, but just a couple more to go for that. Only one more to go for those George Webb hamburgers.
That's what we all care about. That's the only thing that matters.
I can honestly say, having lived in Milwaukee for 4 years, back in the late 80s, I think I only went to a George Webb restaurant, you know, maybe twice.
I've never been.
And if they hadn't been for their, you know, decades long, you know, promise to give out free hamburgers if the Brewers ever win 12 in a row, I don't know that I would have heard of them at all. But they certainly found the right way to get attention when the Brewers get on a winning streak. So
it's a good way to do it.
Yeah, good for them if that's what gets the job done. Coming up on the program today, we are going to be visiting in just a little bit here with Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom. And Cam is currently our Arizona editor of the Copper Courier. He's relocating to Washington, D.C., and will become our Capitol Hill correspondent after the congressional recess. The August recess starts at the end of this week. So Cam's going to give us an idea of where the things are in the Capitol this week. Chaos comes to mind. And then Congress will take a break. He'll take a break, pack everything in a moving van, and then join us after Labor Day to become our regular Tuesday morning correspondent. out of the nation's capital. So we'll talk about his daily newsletter as well. It's called Below the Beltway. You can get it through Courier Newsroom at couriernewsroom.com. And his latest edition talks about the ongoing efforts to sane-wash Donald Trump's friendship with Jeffrey Epstein, and to also show us how residents in some communities are trying to basically shame local law enforcement into not becoming a branch office of Donald Trump's masked secret police force. So we've got that to cover with Cam Stevenson this hour. In our next hour, we will talk about some of the groups that know that they're not in power right now, but they can call attention to what people in power are doing, specifically Trump's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill and the state budget and things like that. So we've got a couple of different stories from around Wisconsin of how people are calling attention to the things that are going to, frankly, harm them because of recent actions in the nation's capital. Let's see. We'll also talk to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau about the stories he's following there. And then there's Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. Wisconsin politics is in a holding pattern this week. I mean, from legislators to political journalists like Dan Schaefer, everyone is waiting on Governor Tony Evers to announce whether he'll seek a third term in 2026 or retire and open up a sprawling Democratic primary to potentially succeed him. We don't know. And he's given no indication one way or the other. It literally could go either way at this point. Every so often, the rumor mill fires up and people say they've just heard that he's going to say he's running, or they just heard from a credible source he's going to say he's not running. We don't know. We don't know. That's where things are right now. We don't know. And we're waiting to find out, because it is going to lead to a lot of coverage, either about what does it mean that he's running, or who's going to run on the Democratic side if he's not. We know there are two candidates so far on the Republican side, and I say quite confidently that there will be more Republican Congress or more Republican candidates running for governor. So we have a lot of work ahead of us, but of the candidates announced right now, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman, and also businessman Bill Berrien. It's Bill Berrien who is running ads already, a $400,000 ad buy. And in our Sunday morning newsletter about Wisconsin politics, we ask, what do you think of that? If a candidate, an unknown candidate, is running ads this early, is it a turnoff, or is it understandable? Because, you don't like ads, but you got to build your name ID somehow. Or do you even like it? Do you like it because you see, here's somebody who's ambitious, who's a go-getter, wants to get out of the gates early? Well, where do you come down on this? Getting a lot of answers, a lot of feedback from you, and understandably, a lot of them are going with option A. They think it's a huge turnoff. But it's far from unanimous. There are plenty of people that are choosing option B, saying, I don't like political ads, but I get it. And I can tell you, so many of those answers are tagged out with, regardless, these campaigns last way too long. And people would like to see some kind of restriction on election season, which would be tough to do. People, potential candidates would still claim a First Amendment right to run ads, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of people sure do admire countries like Canada, the UK, and others, where the campaign season is designed to be especially short, like 2 months from the time elections are announced until people vote. In fact, I had a good long chat yesterday with a service guy who was here to work on one of the appliances, and tells me that he listens to a lot of conservative talk radio around the state, and the conversations that I have with folks, they often go like this. Can't we get along? Most people are in the center, either a little bit center left or a little bit center right. And yet he and I both noted that we know of people who have drifted, further to the right or further to the left. but the general public, by and large, just wants us to get together. And if we had shorter campaign seasons where we could just focus on the issues and not spend a year or more in knockdown, drag out, marathon contests of personal attacks, maybe we'd be better off with that shorter campaign season. So you can see why we're getting some good responses to our question of the week. It's in our Sunday morning letter, Sunday morning newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, well, let's get back to the Brewers here, Cam, because I didn't get to see the game. It was out on the West Coast last night in Seattle. But I do know that Brandon Woodruff was going to be pitching, and pitch he did. He went six innings, throwing only 62 pitches, walking nobody, giving up just two singles, and your first-place Milwaukee Brewers won their 11th straight 6-0 over the Mariners. For Woodruff, it was only his third start of the season after missing all of 2024 because of surgery on his pitching shoulder in late 2023. Apparently, though, and this is where I'm glad I didn't stay awake for this one, I love a good pitcher's duel. Unless it's like way past my bedtime, you know, then I want to see a couple of grand slams and then I can go to bed, you know.
Yeah.
But instead, Seattle's George Kirby carried a no-hitter against the Brewers into the sixth inning. But the Brewers then tagged Kirby for four runs after sending eight men to the plate. So the Brewers are now two victories away from tying the Twins for the longest win streak this season. Minnesota won 13 straight in the month of May. But we are now 100 games into the season, and the Brewers have won 60. They are 60-40, 100 games into the season. First time in team history.
That's unreal. 20
games above 500. And by the way, they are doing it with a very different roster than the one that won the division last year. Willie Adames, gone. San Francisco. Corbin Burns, gone, now with Arizona. Devin Williams, gone, now with the New York Yankees. And on it goes. And yet Pat Murphy's taken this crew, and look what he's got now. Tonight's pitcher, a young man named Jacob Mizorowski.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You look at this team, and it almost feels like somehow, without any of the name recognition, it feels like the Cardinals or the Yankees or the Dodgers. It feels like a team that you look at the batting lineup and you go, oh God, that guy's going to be really hard to get past. Oh, that guy's going to be hard. Oh, that guy too. Like every single guy in that batting lineup right now is just an absolute thorn to get past. And it makes no sense because you don't know who any of them are.
No. And it's a thing that I always love watching the national media. And it's not just Milwaukee. Anytime a smaller market team is doing very well, and you can almost sense in them, part of it is, oh, now I've got to learn all these names.
Right?
How do you spell Mizorowski? You know? Some of them are excited about it. They don't want to just cover the same, oh, look, Aaron Judge hit another 600-foot home run. You know? They appreciate the fact that every so often a small market team can make a run like this. But I do enjoy watching Cubs fans try to somehow rationalize all of this.
Cubs fans, can we have a moment, please? Figure it out. Focus on yourselves. Win some games. There's no dark magic going. Mark Ananasio said he wants to provide a summer of fun and entertainment. He said nothing about a World Series championship. So we're having fun. This is entertaining. Be entertained.
I am, and we are. So here's where things go with the Brewers from here. One more night game in Seattle, and then there is a day game ahead. Tonight's game is at 8:05. Pre-game coverage begins on several Civic Media stations around Wisconsin. And then tomorrow afternoon, they'll wrap up things in Seattle. Tomorrow afternoon, 2:05 is when the pregame will begin. Then Thursday, they're off to come back home for two series. The first one begins Friday against the Florida Marlins. And then the Cubs come to town next week, Monday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That, boys and girls, is going to be interesting.
You thought that the Mizorowski, like, pitching against the Pirates felt like a playoff atmosphere? Wait until you see what it feels like playing against the Cubs when we're a game within each other.
and again, that's quite likely. And the crowds are going to be raucous and they're going to be much more evenly balanced
yeah.
than in past seasons, and that is going to feel real good. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Do you or someone you know have disabilities but are challenged finding resources and guidance? Focus on Freedom provides support for children and adults with diverse abilities with a variety of customized services such as one-to-one supports for individuals like daily living skills and training, along with personalized caregiver supports like foundations and caregiving seminars. Focus on Freedom empowers individuals to reach their goals and live as independently as possible, serving residents throughout Winnebago, Outagamie, and Fond du Lac counties. Find us at focusonfreedom.org, empowering independence, transforming lives.
This update sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Kids and seniors, Quartz wants to see you at American Family Field. On select weekday home games, kids 14 and under and seniors 60 plus can save 50% on tickets. Following the game, seniors may stroll along the outfield warning track. Visit brewers.com/kidsandseniors to learn more. Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In February of 2024, Governor Tony Evers signed new maps for the Wisconsin State Legislature into law, putting an end to one of the most extreme partisan gerrymanders anywhere in the country. While that was a momentous achievement for democracy in the state, that wasn't the end of the story. Since then, for more than a year, Fair Maps advocates and pro-democracy activists have been looking to take the next step and propose a new plan for independent redistricting in Wisconsin that would be here for the long haul. It's a compelling, well-constructed plan that would take the job of drawing maps away from the politicians who run for office on those very maps. In this new feature story, I take a closer look inside this citizen-led grassroots effort as it goes from the idea phase to being presented to the public. Because we absolutely need a long-term solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin so we don't end up seeing either political party gerrymander Wisconsin's maps ever again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, where we wonder if Pat can unmute his mic.
Oh, stop it. Here, I got the button right here. Boy, the things I do not to slurp my coffee too loud in your ear during the commercial break here.
Aw, it's so thoughtful.
That's me, just a thoughtful guy. So the story out of North Dakota with that near midair collision with a B-52 bomber was that a SkyWest plane had to abort its landing in Minot and make an aggressive maneuver because a B-52 was conducting a flyover of the North Dakota State Fair at the time. That's according to remarks that a passenger made according to remarks the captain made to passengers in the cabin after the flight. This happened back on Friday. An aviation tracker program shows the plane was descending toward Minot, but then climbing, turning right, and flying in a loop before landing. SkyWest did not say how close the two planes had come to each other. Minot is near an Air Force base, as well as the North Dakota State Fair. And the flyover was being done with approval from the Federal Aviation Administration and Minot's Air Traffic Control Tower. But the tower did not advise the inbound commercial aircraft. It did not named SkyWest or the B-52 in its statement, and the Air Force did not respond to inquiries. A passenger on board the plane, Monica Green, said she was sitting near the front of the plane when it swerved harshly to the right near the end of the trip. The turn was so sharp, she found herself looking out the window, not at the sky, but at the cornfields below, she said. And then upon landing, the pilot came into the cabin and told passengers about the military aircraft. He said, "Sorry about the aggressive maneuver. This caught me by surprise. This is not normal at all." The air traffic control tower at the airport does not have radar, the pilot says in the video, but the nearby Air Force base does. And he said, "I don't know why they didn't give us the heads up." From Jim in Brookfield on the text line, when a B-52 bomber crosses the flight path of an active runway in order to do a state fair flyover, something is seriously wrong. The transportation secretary needs to address the issue under no uncertain terms and hold someone accountable. Again, on the text line from Jim in Brookfield. And so, because the Secretary of Transportation happens to be from Wisconsin, Sean Duffy, we do kind of look at that a little bit differently, in part because Sean Duffy has no significant transportation management experience, and in part because a lot of the people who do have either been let go or have quit, resigned, retired, have not been replaced. And with the aviation, air traffic control system, this understaffed and this much under pressure, there is legitimate concern that there could be more incidents like this. And so all we're really asking is that Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy focus on making the necessary repairs, making the necessary hires. And don't just try to keep people who otherwise would retire. Don't try to keep people from their retirement. They have worked decades and have earned it. That's one of the things that really, gets to me is when I hear politicians say, "Well, we just have people, retiring too early." No, we don't. People have earned their retirement. They've set up whatever benefits you laid out for them. And if they're good to go, they're good to go. Maybe rethink the xenophobia that's keeping you from having, a labor force that has been built in this nation for 200 years with people coming from around the world because they want to work here. Maybe address immigration reform rather than trying to just pass tax cuts for the super wealthy. But that's what people are doing now. And in our next hour, we're going to talk about what a couple of different groups are doing to bring attention to that. I also meant to mention earlier that Dan Hagen should be along from Newswatch 12, WJFW TV in Rhinelander, and we'll talk about some of the stories that he is following up in that part of the state. We also have for you a couple of different things from Courier Newsroom that we wanted to tell you about. We spent a little time yesterday talking about the video series, How Is This Better?, with Akilah Hughes, covering everything from politics to entertainment to tech and late-stage capitalism. How Is This Better? Challenges a lot of the grifters controlling our government and our attention and so much of our daily lives. And there is so much to be said in Akilah's newest episode called The Alpha Male Trap, which is all about the way that young men are especially vulnerable to messages about hypermasculinity and what it's doing not only to our politics, not only to our national discourse, but to their health, to their lives, to their relationships or lack thereof. And then the week before in her series, How Is This Better?, Akilah Hughes looked at women and the whole trad wives trend and what the MAHA, Make America Healthy Again movement is doing. And again, put healthy in quotes when you talk about that. There are a lot of women seeking information on wellness and instead are being fed a steady diet of political rhetoric meant to tell them that, they don't need to work outside the home and that they should have a more traditional role. And what is that, again, doing to our labor force, to our economy, and to the aspirations of women who are told there's something wrong with them for wanting to have those aspirations? So, again, that's from Akilah Hughes, How Is This Better?, a series from Courier Newsroom. And you can either watch it on YouTube or watch or listen on Spotify. You can listen on Apple or you can watch from the Courier Newsroom website, couriernewsroom.com. In just a bit, we're going to be talking to Cam Stevenson, making the move from Arizona to Washington, D.C. to cover all things in the Capitol, in Congress, the White House, and elsewhere for all of us right back here at home, where we are at home, live from Lake Wissota, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Midwest Farm Report is coming up next.
...98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, it's a few more weeks before the school bell rings in Wisconsin, but we're facing a challenge with agriculture education. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. Details on how that's being addressed next.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most: your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Cheryl Zimmerman is the executive director of the Wisconsin FFA Association, and she says right now many school districts across the state are scampering, trying to find agriculture educators to fill vacancies.
What we're finding is this: we have ag programs that are adding more teachers. So now we have several programs that have 3, 4, and 5 ag teachers. We're finding we're adding programs, and so we're also going into the virtual dimension of FFA. We started our first virtual program in McFarland with Destinations Career Academy. We're going to be chartering our second one now with iForward out of Grantsburg, Wisconsin. And so that's kind of a new dimension. But, there are opportunities to be an educator for agriculture, and we've still got some openings before the school year starts.
Cheryl Zimmerman, executive director of the Wisconsin FFA Association, she says Wisconsin is not alone when it comes to the challenges of trying to fill these agriculture education vacancies. She said it's something that's occurring nationwide.
They say seeing is believing, and nothing catches the eye like the 7 bushel per acre yield advantage of Veltima fungicide over other fungicides. But don't just take our word for it. See it for yourself. Run a comparison of Veltima fungicide. Enter the Real Results Yield Challenge and experience the difference it makes in your fields. And when you share your experience with us, you'll get a chance to win a 2-year lease on a new truck. Sign up at yieldchallenge.basf.us. No purchase necessary. See official rules for details. Always read and follow label directions.
And Wisconsin crops have been capitalizing on the warm weather we've had over the past few weeks. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service shows as of Sunday, 79% of our corn crop in Wisconsin was rated good to excellent. We also have about 75% of our soybeans currently rated good to excellent. Winter wheat, 72% of that crop called good to excellent, and 14% of that wheat has already been harvested. 3% of our potato crop also already harvested. That's just a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. More anytime at MidwestFarmReport.com. Sign up for our daily e-newsletter. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Our low dropping into the low 70s. Tomorrow, sunny, hot, humid, scattered thunderstorms with a high near 88. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Jordan Leon and Amy Mazzariello, owners of the Lion's Mouth Bookstore in Green Bay. Then Green Bay comedian Kristen Lighty joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Little reminder for you that you can reach the show, send us a text through the Civic Media app. You can get that downloaded at all the usual app stores. Call up any of the stations, the 10 of them where you now hear our show across Wisconsin, and use the text feature to send us a note. Or you can record a voice note. Use the voice note button instead and send us a little audio message, and we may play it here on the show as well. Again, head to civicmedia.us. to learn more about that. From Scott and Madison on the text line, we were talking earlier about, you know, many people being in the political center. There are some people that are, you know, further to the right, further to the left. Scott and Madison says, as you throw out further to the left, I would sure love a definition of that or an example that matches what further to the right examples could be given. And I don't know that I could give you a matching example, because the stuff that is further to the right is concerning. Further to the left, the one that came up most recently for me was hearing about Zoran Mamdani, the candidate for mayor in New York. And there are some people aghast that he wants to make bus fares free. And we, of course, we hear all about Democrats being the party of free stuff. But I can already counter that and tell you, you know, the Staten Island Ferry in New York used to charge. It's now free because they understand the importance of getting commuters to work. And so when I always hear this, you know, the far left wants things for free. Sometimes we forget there are plenty of things that are free already that we don't ask them to pay for themselves. You know, there are no toll roads in Wisconsin. We just go, you know what? We need roads to move people around, and so let's make that free. But let me give some more thought to Scott's point, and we'll get into far left views versus far right views. Here's a guy that's got to deal with all of them coming up with his new gig in Washington, D.C. Cam Stevenson from the Copper Courier in Arizona, at least for a little bit longer, where it's 4:30 in the morning out there, but he's already on the East Coast time because of the new gig he's going to be starting covering Capitol Hill for Courier Newsroom. Cam, how are you?
I'm, you know, a little sleepy, but that's why I rely on coffee. It's great to see you, Pat. Thanks
yes.
for having me on.
See, we're very pro coffee here. Parker, not so much. We're still working to corrupt him and make him a coffee drinker, but the rest of us, we totally get it. So, along with the new duties, they include a newsletter from Courier Newsroom called Below the Beltway, and you can get that at beltway.news and, of course, through couriernewsroom.com. But, Cam, we're going to visit with you now, and then Congress is going on recess. You're going to move to D.C. from Arizona, and then we'll get all this started officially on Tuesdays, starting the day after Labor Day. So let's give a little bit of background first. I know you've been on the show a couple of times before talking about Arizona matters, but how in the world does a nice young man from Arizona end up having a discussion going, hey, you want to move to D.C. and cover the swamp for us?
Well, I'll tell you what, it didn't come easily. A lot of it was born out of necessity. It was something that I saw as a need for Courier, as much as I think our publisher and headquarters felt that with the incoming Trump administration, that we were going to see a lot of what we saw during his first term, but magnified. There would be not only attempts by his administration to push the limits of what our laws are and what it means to be a democracy, but news outlets, more traditional ones, mainstream ones, who are more looking for access and increased viewership and to make money off of it than to actually report the news and what's going on. And we've seen that, you know, we have a whole new term for it this time around, sane washing, which is just people's desperate attempt to make these acts of authoritarianism and these, you know, fascist efforts on the streets with our immigration police, try to make those things sound normal and routine and as if it's what we would see, no matter what, which it's not. And so that's kind of where the idea was born, is we wanted someone with Courier's mission on the Hill, reporting and giving an opportunity for people to see what's going on at their nation's capital. And so I've been laying the groundwork the past few months as we've been getting prepared to move, and we'll really be able to hit the ground running once Congress comes back in the fall.
So sane washing is the theme of your most recent newsletter edition here. And unfortunately, as disgusting as the entire Jeffrey Epstein matter is, it does give us perhaps the best way to talk about sane washing. Because it's one thing to say, let's take, evangelicals who love to criticize, you know, Joe Biden, even though he went to church faithfully every week, but they think, you know, Donald Trump is like some kind of exemplar who was, you know, sent from above and as a flawed package, et cetera, et cetera. Sane washing is just a way to say, what if the shoe were on the other foot? Would you still be making excuses for this person? And by and large, in the Trump administration, there's been a lot of that, you know, like, oh, we can excuse this, we can excuse this, we can excuse this. Now we get to this Epstein thing, releasing the files. And now suddenly it's a case of, you know, a lot of Trump supporters going, wait a minute, if the shoe were on the other foot, if Joe Biden or somebody were holding up the Epstein files, we'd be crying bloody murder. And we're crying bloody murder that Donald Trump is not releasing these things. And you see where the sane washing cycle actually does have, it is finite. It actually does have a limit.
Yeah. And I want to say this is probably the first time we've seen this with Donald Trump, honestly, since the Hollywood tapes from his first campaign,
yeah,
where people began to break with him, but then, you know, they didn't in the end. But yeah, we're seeing an interesting shift and kind of a chasm appear where there's these people like the FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino, who essentially built his career on being an Epstein truther, for lack of a better term. And now he's being asked to essentially go against that, to do what he said he would never do and protect the rich and powerful at the expense of the victims of terrible crimes. And a lot of people they can't wrap their heads around that. They have built this persona of someone of a president who at all costs, even back in 2020, was, you know, the conspiracy theories were that he was working undercover to unmask these terrible wrongdoers and was a man of the people. And he, if he only had four more years, then he could really, really get in there. And now they're with this, they're seeing the opposite. And I think that to them is insanity and they can't, that's a bridge too far.
And I think by and large, they are actually seeing through the administration's efforts to change the subject. There was Trump over the weekend playing the race card, going, hey, we need to bring back the Washington football team name and the Cleveland Guardians baseball team. There's the going after, you know, Harvard over and over again. Even yesterday, there was the release of files related to the assassination of Martin Luther King. I mean, they're throwing anything out there to change the subject. And Martin Luther King's daughter puts up a photo of Martin Luther King just kind of looking at the camera, and the caption says, great, now do the same with the Epstein files, you know, after having released the MLK files. You know, folks are understanding this. And so this is what I think the attempts to, like you said, sane wash this are not going to happen this week. And I think what doesn't help is that the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who, let's face it, is not a beloved character. I mean, he seems like a good foot soldier to begin with, but now in saying, well, of course, we're for full transparency. We're doing everything possible to give full transparency when they're actually doing the exact opposite is just not a good look for an already for a Speaker of the House that many people are already, shall we say, suspicious of.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I mean, he got his position by being, you know, last picked on the, you know, on the team four times over. He's not someone who has the charisma for the job or the ability to politic in the way that previous speakers could, but he's good at following directions and doing what he's told. And so that's what he's been doing. And he has been able to help get through, you know, Trump's the billionaire tax cuts through that budget. He was able to get this rescissions bill to, you know, cut funding for public aid and public broadcasting. And I mean, well, that's about half of the legislation they've passed this year. But he's been able to do that. And so I think that they're just trying to, at this point, lie low and hope that Donald Trump stops talking about Epstein. Because honestly, at this point, he keeps bringing it up. And,
yes. It's like,
and I think that's part of their problem.
You can just see all these folks want to put their finger right on Trump's lips and go, stop talking. We're talking to Cam Stevenson, Courier Newsroom's new Capitol Hill correspondent. His Below the Beltway newsletter can be found at beltway.news. And one other quick story out of there, the way that local residents in some places are pushing back against ICE and the mass deputization of local cops. And we don't have time to get into all the different ways that police departments can work with the Department of Homeland Security and ICE. But you do tell the story of a founder of the group Indivisible Mesa. Her name is Jillian. And you're right, the idea of masked, plainclothes police officers smashing car windows, abducting her neighbors, and seeing friends sent off to internment camps did not sit well with her, and helped start a group that was putting pressure on their local police department. And that seems to be, Cam, the one way that everyday citizens can make a difference is to what degree will their local law enforcement be local law enforcement or a branch office of Trump's secret police?
Yeah. Jillian, her story is really, really impressive and amazing. She was, you know, fairly politically inactive in the sense that she was living her life, you know, paying her bills, working a few jobs until November. And then she saw Trump get elected. She wanted to find something to do. And so she found Indivisible, which I imagine a bunch of Indivisibles have, you know, different groups and chapters that popped up throughout Wisconsin and Midwest as well. Mm-hmm. So she started this group. It's now, you know, 4,000 strong in just a few months. And they've been putting pressure on their city council to have them end partnerships with ICE. And this is something that I've seen and been tracking in different cities across the country. Not just that, but for cities to end or not engage with prison contracts with ICE as well. You know, as the Trump administration is trying to arrest thousands of people every single day, they need a place to put them. And so they're quickly reopening prisons that have closed or you know, starting private prison contracts to open these facilities in different states everywhere in the country. People have been able to successfully push back at the city council level to have those contracts, you know, either canceled or not signed. And so this has just been a very effective way for people to actually oppose these policies in an effective way. Because when it comes down to it, it's all paperwork. And if you can stop that.
And by the way, it's not about like a sanctuary city where they don't enforce things. You can still enforce immigration status on people who have been arrested. There's a big difference between that and helping out on raids, you know, getting again people from housekeeping who've broken no laws and things like that. Cam Stevenson's following all this and Below the Beltway. Find it at beltway.news. And we will talk to you more after Labor Day. Good luck with the move. We'll see you in D.C.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you very much. Today's history lesson is coming up next, as we always do, mornings here up north, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
Harry Potter fans, I got an event for you. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And did you know that Harry Potter's birthday is on July 27th? A true fan does. You can celebrate Harry Potter's birthday at Carmel Crisp Corner in Oshkosh. Sunday, July 27th from 1 till 4 p.m. Sip some butterbeer. Check out great Harry Potter merch. There's a costume contest. And you can get a picture in their Hogwarts photo booth. This is a Potterverse dream. Head to WISS.FM and check it out. Click events.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's ice cream month, and did you know you can celebrate at this area stop along the state's ice cream trail? Here's the scoop.
Now, in Wisconsin, we've got 49 different licensed ice cream plants that are making it. But this map focuses in on unique stops in Wisconsin. Every one of them's got a story.
That's Pam Yonke, known as the Fabulous Farm Babe. She says the current trail includes 20 locations, each one from Hayward to La Crosse, Madison, and then north to Appleton, Green Bay, and Door County, dishes out delicious, locally made ice cream.
I've been to one or two, but I'm surprised by how few I've gotten a chance to visit, and I'm a pretty big ice cream fan.
Find the trail at the website gatherwisconsin.com and add your own local favorite there, too. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Are you or a loved one facing addiction? The Wisconsin Addiction Recovery Helpline offers free and confidential support 24/7. Powered by 211 Wisconsin, local trained specialists can help connect you with local service providers for treatment, peer support, harm reduction tools, and more. Call 211, text your zip code to 898-211 or chat at 211wisconsin.org. Help is waiting. Sponsored by United Way of Wisconsin.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. Here's our local Valley Focus segment for Tuesday, July 22nd.
I'm Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale, and today I am talking with Maeve Casey, who is the Environmental Health Specialist with the Winnebago County Public Health Department. Maeve, thank you very much for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me.
Answer me this. What exactly is an Environmental Health Specialist?
No, so the Environmental Health Specialist role involves, there is some stuff with environmental. So we do deal with like carbon monoxide and radon and like water testing, but our primary role with Winnebago County is completing inspections, whether that's on restaurants, hotels, pools, all sorts of things like that are licensed throughout the state and in Winnebago County. And it is our job to go out and complete inspections to make sure they meet proper state code.
Is this for all events that happen within Winnebago County?
Yeah, so all special events or summer events that you see out at in Winnebago County, like the Farmers Market, EAA, the Memorial Soccer Day tournaments, and things like Life Fest, 4th of July, all those events have food stands, and therefore we are out there doing inspections on them.
I imagine you're going to be, well, you have been very busy, but are going to be ramping up and busy as they're setting up all the stands over at EAA this week.
Yeah, so far in the year, since July 1st, our calendar year, we've completed over 80 inspections already in terms of special events. So those are like the EAA and that sort of inspections on top of our regular inspections throughout the county. EA is our biggest event. So we usually out there for 4 days with all five inspectors, environmental health specialists, and we do over 59 inspections just at EA.
That's a big, big event.
Yeah, it can be daunting at times, but you know, there are five of us and we do split it up. And a lot of the times people know and expect us to be coming in. So it's usually not an issue.
Now you mentioned events like EAA and you said restaurants a little bit earlier. So you guys are the ones that go out and check to make sure that everything is covered the way it's supposed to be and things are cleaned and all that fun stuff?
Yes, that's a big role of what we do when we go out and do the inspections. A lot of the times our primary focus, especially with special events, is making sure a hand washing station is set up. A lot of people don't think about it, but the first thing that you need is hand washing, because good health and good hygiene that reflects on your kitchen starts with hand washing. And so that's a big role. And then like hot holding food. So that's, when we say hot holding, we mean keeping food at a warm temperature. It has to be above 135 degrees. If it's below 135, it's considered at a dangerous temperature. Whereas like cold holding is 41 degrees and you want things to stay 41 and under if they're supposed to be cold. The 42 to 134 range is the danger zone in terms of bacteria growth and improper food etiquette.
And I was just going to say that when you said the danger zone, mm-hmm. it's when the bacteria go, hey, this is a temp I like. They actually want that kind of
temperature. Yeah, they want that temperature because it's a good environment for it to grow and then lead to potential dangers for you when you consume the food that's being held at those temperatures.
One of the things that I've seen just explode over the past couple of years are food trucks. Do you guys also inspect the food trucks? And are they harder to inspect than, say, a regular standalone restaurant?
Yeah, so food trucks are a part of our inspection routine. Depending on where they're from, they maybe are licensed by us personally or they're from another county. Regardless, we do inspect them if they come into Winnebago County. We're required to inspect them once a year if they're ours, but we do inspections on ones from out of state and out of county just because you like to cover all your bases and you never know what practices may differ state to state or county to county. So us going and conducting inspection on them just helps to make sure everything's uniform and up to our standards.
Is that one of those things where they would schedule an inspection time with you, or do you just kind of go, well, you know, I haven't seen food truck A yet this year. Let me go check them out.
Yeah, so it kind of depends. If they're one of ours that we personally license and they have a service base, which is a restaurant or a establishment where they go get water from or they conduct prepping there, we'll go schedule a time to go meet with them there and do it. But we do like to see our food trucks out in action. So a lot of times it is cold turkey and we show up and we just like to get in there and see what they're doing, because that's when you see the habits that may need additional education or guidance with.
If somebody is nervous about food trucks, what would you say to that person?
You know, food trucks are a fully functioning restaurants in most cases. And, you know, they are held to the same expectations of a full-blown restaurant. So just know that they are being inspected and looked at throughout the county and throughout the state. There are strict regulations with them and, you know, there's really nothing to worry about. But like all things, take it with a grain of salt. If you see something you don't personally like, then you don't have to take your business there.
Exactly. So let me ask you one other question. Let's take a look at, say, the farmer's market, or there's a big event, let's say a festival that's happening in the Leech Amphitheater or something like that. And mm-hmm. there's going to be a little food stand set up. Are you guys involved with that?
Yeah. So usually ahead of the event, we do have the information of who's going to be there and that sort of thing. If it's people that we have already conducted an inspection on prior to that event, like we've already seen them that year, we might check in with them at the event, but we might not necessarily inspect them again. If there's someone new there that we've never seen or they're due for their inspection, we'll for sure go and check them out. But usually we're pretty much out at every single event taking a look at somebody.
If somebody wanted some information about, you know, what it is you do or was concerned about something and wanted to say, hey, have you looked over here at this? I just think it looked a little funky the last time I was there. Or, hey, I really like this particular place. I think they have a great cleanly staff. Why don't you just go and give them a pat on the back? I mean, how do you handle that type of thing?
So our website does have a email complaint form that you can submit, or you can give our department a call and just ask for environmental health and you'll get transferred to our department and we'll be able to either help you with any concerns you have or receive and take that compliment and pass it on.
Excellent. Now, with environmental health, you said there are five environmental health specialists, so four in addition to you. Mm-hmm. And are you guys going to be at EAA? Or do you kind of just go early and say, let me get out of here before the craziness starts?
So kind of like what I touched on earlier, we like to see things in action because that's when you catch things that might be incorrect and you want to educate the staff doing it or things like that. So we're out prior to the event. We'll be out and doing the initial like campground inspections and taking a look at that stuff, making sure sewage and water in the bathrooms and that sort of thing are all good to go. Roads are properly designed, that sort of thing. Spacing with the campgrounds is a big one.
Well, Maeve Casey, thank you very much for joining me today.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. He grew up on television playing the only son on The Cosby Show. Bill Cosby reacting to the death of Malcolm Jamal Warner, who played Theo Huxtable.
He was very professional. Hmm. 54 years old and always studied, always knew his part. He would have been one of Spencer Tracy's favorite actors. He never bumped into the furniture. He always knew his lines, and he always knew where to go.
Bill Cosby accused by multiple women of sexual assault and harassment, his conviction overturned on appeal. The FAA is investigating the near miss of that Delta regional jet and a B-52 over the skies of Minot, North Dakota. The pilot forced to make an abrupt maneuver to avoid the military jet, which had been executing a flyover at a state fair nearby. The list of countries calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza has grown to 28, with Greece, Malta, and Cyprus joining many others. This is ABC News.